Good morning to you all. Will you turn to Acts 1, please? Acts chapter 1. This is called Jesus Prepares 12 Witnesses. What gospel shall we hear? Jesus prepares 12 witnesses. What gospel shall we hear? In Acts 1:8, Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witnesses." Near the end of Acts 1, Peter tells the 120, "We need to choose one more man to be a witness with us." One more to be a witness? Only one more? And then there are enough witnesses? What does it mean to be a witness? Who qualifies? What kind of witness does Peter have in mind? We're going to find out that a witness has a lot to do with what the gospel is. Jesus was careful about how his followers would speak about him. Jesus was determined that the church would begin with a solid foundation. What gospel shall we hear? Jesus did not just say, "Go be my witnesses." We're going to look at what Jesus did in Luke 24 and Acts 1 to prepare his witnesses. We are not witnesses in the way Jesus used witness. And now to Acts 1. In my former book, Acts 1 takes us to Luke 24. Here is how Acts begins. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. In my former book, that's how Acts begins. Luke begins Acts by taking us to the end of his gospel, the things that Jesus did with the apostles after his resurrection in Luke 24. So now we're going back to Luke 24, and we're going to see the ways in which Jesus prepared his witnesses back there. And we're going to see more preparations and acts. All told, his witnesses needed 7 preparations. Preparation 1, the Jesus Messianic Prophecy School. Look at Luke 24:25. The Jesus Messianic Prophecy School. In Luke 24, we learn how closely Jesus tied his own life and death and resurrection to particular Old Testament prophecies. His witnesses had to know how his life was a fulfillment of the scripture, and he taught them this. In the afternoon of that first resurrection Sunday, Jesus met 2 of his followers. They didn't recognize him, and they were terribly discouraged that Jesus had been crucified and buried. And Jesus scolded them. Luke 24, verse 25. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things, and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Did you notice how that started? How foolish you are and slow to believe what the prophets said. Jesus had been teaching them what the prophets said, but they had not been getting it. What troubled Jesus was how slow they were to understand and believe what he had told them about the prophets. So he gave them the whole long lesson again, the Jesus Messianic Prophecy School. Jesus had his own set of scriptures that he knew to be speaking about the Christ, and that's what he taught. The Jews had lots of prophecies they thought were about the Christ. Jesus ignored some of those, and he had many others. They needed the Jesus Messianic Prophecy School. When they started to eat together, these 2 followers and Jesus, then they recognized him, and then he disappeared. And after he disappeared, this is Luke 24:32, they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They're scolding themselves for not recognizing him sooner. Before he died, as Jesus walked with his followers, he often opened the scriptures to them, and their hearts would burn as they listened. That was common for them. So they should have known it was Jesus. They should have recognized him, because he did that day what he always did. So they got up and ran to where the others were gathered in Jerusalem, and they told them that they had seen Jesus. And then Jesus appeared to the gathering. Let's begin at verse 44, Luke 24, 44. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Okay, this section opened, "This is what I told you while I was still with you." Jesus had been saying these things to them all along, that the scriptures had spelled it out ahead of time, and then he gave them the lesson again, from Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. You see, Jesus did not want his resurrection announced and the gospel preached by witnesses who had not learned his understanding of messianic prophecies. His witnesses must have that. Our text ended with, "You are witnesses of these things." Of what things? Of what they had just learned from him, where Moses and the prophets and the Psalms spoke about Jesus. His witnesses had to have that. That was preparation one. Preparation two, witnesses must be convinced of his resurrection. Luke 24, starting at verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. "Look at my hands and feet. It's me. Poke me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." So Jesus showed them his hands and his feet so they could see marks from nails of crucifixion. He invited them to prod his body. And then Jesus asked them for food. He didn't bring his own food. He wanted them to know this was real, ordinary food. He ate their food in front of them. And Acts 1 tells us that Jesus did this kind of thing repeatedly for 40 days. It was not enough for his witnesses just to see him once or twice. They had to see him and experience his real flesh and bones and eat with him again and again for 40 days. No one could ever convince any of those 11 men that Jesus had not actually risen from the dead. Jesus did not just say, "Believe it." He proved it to them again and again and again. And Jesus does this, as we read in Acts 1, with the chosen apostles, the 11. There are other followers in Jerusalem, and he appears to them once in a while, but in Acts 1, he concentrates completely on the 11. Luke names them in Acts 1, 13 and 14, so we'll know exactly who this is. In Acts 1, we don't read one word about any other believers until the middle of verse 14. So the second preparation is that Jesus makes sure the 11 are entirely sure about his resurrection, not from faith, but from sight and sound and touch. Preparation 3, witnesses must have the Holy Spirit. Did you notice that even Jesus, after his resurrection, was still taught and carried along by his Holy Spirit, dependent on the Holy Spirit? We read in Acts chapter 1, verse 2, For 40 days, Jesus was giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. So Jesus taught the 11 chosen apostles, and the Spirit was guiding and teaching Jesus and giving Jesus words to say. Witness could not happen until the Holy Spirit came. The gospel had to be energized and carried along by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said at the end of Luke, "I'm going to send you what my Father promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." Acts 1 says, "Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus did not want them telling others about him until they had received the Holy Spirit. That's preparation 3. Preparation 4, be with Jesus from John the Baptist to the resurrection. I'm reading Acts 1, verse 21. Acts 1, 21. At the end of Acts 1, Peter led the 120 believers to find a replacement for Judas. The man who replaced Judas had to meet certain standards. Peter said, "It is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." It had to be one of those who had listened to John preach and had been baptized by John and then had followed Jesus around up to and including his resurrection and his ascension. See, Jesus had a crowd of Galileans that followed him around from the start. There were not just 12 followers, there was a larger crowd, perhaps 200, and there were many women in that group. They did not all stay in Jerusalem after Easter, but 120 did. So Peter and the 120 narrowed it down to two men who they thought could replace Judas and join the 11. And then they prayed that Jesus would make the final choice, and they drew lots. They used some random way so the Lord could make his preference known. The thing is, these preachers had to know Jesus firsthand. They did not know the Jesus story if they had not themselves listened to John the Baptist, and they had to have been in that crowd that followed Jesus from then on, watching him, listening to him in all kinds of situations, including seeing the resurrected Jesus. The first preachers, these witnesses, needed all of that. You see, Jesus here is crafting the beginning of the church. The gospel will not be preached in any old way. Jesus formed a group of 12 men that knew all about his life on earth, and they knew what the Old Testament said about him, and they knew for sure that he was alive, and they had the Holy Spirit. We also have the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, but by now it's clear, isn't it, that we are not at all witnesses in the way that Luke 24 and Acts 1 speak of witnesses. We have the Spirit so we can live like the church lived at the end of Acts 2 and at the end of Acts and in Acts 4. So preparation 4 was to be with Jesus from John the Baptist to the resurrection. To John the Baptist to the resurrection of Jesus. Preparation 5, chosen by Jesus. Witnesses had to be chosen by Jesus for this. We read in Acts 1:2 that Jesus gave instructions through the Holy Spirit specifically to the apostles he had chosen. In case there's any doubt, we have the 11 named in chapter 1, verse 13. And when they pick a 12th, they pray together, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. You show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this ministry which Judas left." So the lot fell to Matthias, and so that was the Lord's choice. So Jesus did not ask for volunteers. He did not ask people to pray if they should witness. He picked the witnesses he wanted, and he prepared them for what they were supposed to do. And that's how he sent That's just how he sends harvest workers into his field. We have read the same thing in Matthew and Luke. So preparation 5, they had to be chosen. Preparation 6, there had to be 12. Acts 1, 15 to 26. Why did there have to be 12 apostles, 12 witnesses? For some reason, there had to be 12. What kind of message, what kind of gospel was Jesus sending that the message had to come from 12 or the message itself was incomplete? Almost half of Acts 1 tells us about replacing Judas so there could be 12. I used to ignore that. It was like a waste of space. Who cares if they are 12? Why would the 11 not do? But the Spirit was guiding Luke in writing this, and it matters. It mattered to Peter, I'm sure, because the Lord had told Peter and the 11 to pick a 12th, which prophecies that would fulfill. But why 12? 12 means the people of God, Israel. Jesus told the 12 in Matthew 19 and in Luke 22 that they would rule the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus was not just starting the church. Jesus was reconstituting Israel, reforming Israel, revising Israel. The 12 disciples were all Israelites, and the 12 tribes still existed, but something big and new was happening. As the first people of God, the first nation of God, Israel, was built on the 12 sons of Jacob, so the revised and reformed nation of God is built on the 12 apostles of Jesus. Jesus picked the 12 as an echo of the 12 sons of Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel. That's why John's revelation likes the number 24. 24 means faithful Israel and faithful church, all together as the bride of Christ. In the New Jerusalem, the 12 gates are named after the 12 tribes of Israel, and the 12 foundations are named after the 12 apostles of the Lamb. People, the good news is much bigger than individuals coming to Jesus to have their sins forgiven. Jesus began a new nation, and he could not send that new Israel, new nation message unless there were 12 apostles and witnesses. At the end of Galatians, Paul calls the Gentile church the Israel of God. That's what's going on here. And that's why the life together of the 3,000 converts after Peter's Pentecost sermon in Acts 2 is so important. After the Spirit and the gospel, these people from all over are incredibly unified. And that is the start of the new people, the new nation of God. So Jesus spoke to them for 40 days about the kingdom of God. Remember that kingdom in those days usually meant the same as nation. Jesus was teaching them about the new people of God, the new nation of God. And that's why Jesus needed to have 12 witnesses of his resurrection. It was an echo of Israel. Preparation 7. It had to begin in Jerusalem. On one occasion, it says, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised." Jesus said at the end of Luke, and also in Acts 1, that the preaching must begin in Jerusalem. Jesus was a Galilean. His apostles were all Galileans. His crowd of followers were all Galileans. They did not like Jerusalem. Jerusalem crucified Jesus. His apostles and followers would much rather have gone back to Galilee and started there. But Jesus commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait in the city for what my Father promised." God's temple was in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was the capital city of Judea. It was the center of Israelite life and worship. The Spirit would be given in Jerusalem, and preaching would begin in Jerusalem for more or less the same reasons that there needed to be 12 witnesses. Jesus was sending a message to the Jews. Israel is changing, and you, Israel, is being built, and you need to get on board. By the end of Acts, the Jews are often hostile and Gentiles are coming into the new people of God. Reconstituted Israel has lots of room for Gentiles, and that's how we get in. So God's plan, people, is bigger than bringing individuals into salvation. Our gospel, the one that saves us, had to begin in Jerusalem. So let's summarize these seven preparations. Jesus did not say, "You will be my witnesses to us." He said it to the 11. And even after there were more preachers in Acts, those preachers are not called witnesses. So Luke 24 and Acts 1 do not call us to be witnesses. They tell us the gospel that Jesus insisted we hear. What gospel did Jesus make sure that we hear? 1. It was built on Old Testament messianic prophecy as taught by Jesus. 2. It's built on complete certainty that Jesus rose from the dead. 3. The Holy Spirit energized and carried the Lord's teaching and the apostles' witness. 4. Witnesses know Jesus firsthand throughout his whole earthly ministry. 5. Witnesses had to be chosen by Jesus for this task to be witnesses. 6. There had to be 12. And 7. It had to begin in Jerusalem. Jesus worked hard to make sure that the church began this way. Jesus wanted us to get this gospel. He wanted us to have this kind of foundation. So our faith rests on what those 12 received from Jesus. And this tells us what we've come to when we believed in Jesus. So there's more to the gospel than we thought, isn't there? This message is really just a setup for what happens in Acts 2. Luke 24 and Acts 1 are all preparation for Acts 2. That Acts 2 tells the whole gospel and world mission story in one chapter. So, basically, how shall we respond when we hear the gospel that Jesus wanted preached? We will repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and then we will act like the new people of God, as we see at the end of Acts 2. And we will guard this gospel, and we will treasure it, and we will make sure it gets passed on just like this. Amen. Let's pray. Christ our Lord, you were more careful about this than we thought. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for being so thorough with those men. Thank you that you opened our hearts to receive this very gospel so that we would be brought into your kingdom. And now, Lord, have mercy on us and help us together to live worthy of your calling. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May the Lord direct our hearts into God's love and into Christ's perseverance. May the Lord of peace give us peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.